Well, did you bring your Bible tonight? Because I like to read the Bible. And I like to preach according to what God has said. I could have my own understanding, but how many know when you read it, the Holy Spirit can bring it to your heart and light to you. Amen. We've been talking about some things here. And last Wednesday, we kind of talked a little bit more about revival and true revival and what God wants in the earth and how some of those things take place. You know, revival is something that's already built. It's in our heart. Amen. It comes from you and I. We are really revival, you and I in the earth. It's who we really are. Now, if I kind of talk to you heart to heart tonight, I think that's good. That's what I want to do. I really want us to look at ourselves and say, Lord, you know, it's not His desire. It wasn't His desire that there were times when the gospel was not preached well. How many know there was some dark ages, right? 14, 1500s, dark. It was very dark. It looked like the gospel's going to go out. Now, God's always had His remnant. There's been a few people. But it was not, definitely not raging revival. And how many know they were even bound in certain ways? And it took a revolution, and revelation had to come to what Martin Luther, didn't he? He came with the grace of God, because they were trying to get people born again and trying to make them do all kinds of human works, right, to come to the kingdom. And how many know that it's not by the works of man's flesh? Let's look at Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Let me see. Let's just start at the first verse. We'll just read a few verses here. Bring this to pass, because it is important that we realize that it is not. It said chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. How many are glad? I'm going to stop right there. Stop for a second. How many are glad that God made you alive in Christ Jesus? We've been talking about that. We've talked about the new nature and the life that God brought to the inside of you. So your spirit man and the nature of God is part of that spirit. Part of your new nature part of your spirit man is a new nature. Your man that was alive to God. He lit you. In other words, you began to think and act more like Him. Amen. Why? Because He moved to the inside of you. Your spirit man was lit and brought to life. The very nature of God moved on the inside of you. The life of God. Jesus says that this is the life of God. Why? Because we were dead. We talked about that in trespasses and sin. Because we were born of the fallen race of Adam. And the authority was on man and the earth. And that's what we're celebrating now is Christmas, where God found a person. Who did He find? He found Mary, didn't He? She was willing to say, Lord, be it done to me according to Your word. And God formed that body for Jesus and said, I have found a way. Woo-hoo! I found a way to get man into the earth, a perfect man. And bypassed the DNA of our fallen race and brought Jesus into the earth as a man. The God-man, fully God but fully man, laid down His deity and lived His life as a man on the earth. Because God said, I must have a redeemer. I must have someone that will clear them, that will pay the price for man's sin. And Jesus came and made us alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. Okay, verse 2, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Now, that is that death nature, right? That is the death spirit, because we were what? Dead in sin. And so here he's saying that same spirit, the prince of the power of the air, Satan himself, the spirit of death, which works in the sons of disobedience, those that are not yet born again. That's why we have certain things happening in the earth, because there are still sons of disobedience. It's why we have what? War and rumors of wars, right? It's why we have famine in the earth, because men are lost and without God and have no hope, it says, among whom also all once conducted themselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, glory to God, how many are thankful for our God, amen, who is rich in mercy. Ooh, I'm glad he's rich in mercy. I don't know about you, but I am glad he's rich in mercy. Have you thought about his mercy today? The Bible says his mercies are what? Every morning they are new. Every day we can call upon his mercy. Lord, you're merciful. Lord, I thank you that you're merciful. Because of his great love wherewith he loved us. Oh, hallelujah. It's getting better and better, isn't it? Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. And here it is, by grace you have been saved. And raised us up together, made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And here it is, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Oh, I'm telling you, I love this passage. I love Ephesians here, Ephesians 2, and what he's talking about. We got into this because I mentioned that, you know, there were some dark ages. It wasn't the will of God for there to be no grace. Grace was available, but men were blinded to it. How many know it's the God of this world that blinds the minds of them that believe not? They were bound. They were of their father, the devil. And he has been at work for a long time to try to keep this gospel hid. Amen? But how many know it's getting less and less hid when you and I are here and we proclaim the goodness of God, the grace is available. There is mercy for you. There is grace. There is loving kindness. Oh, my goodness. Now, I know some of you probably were real rascals and were way out in the flesh, you know, some more than others, but it doesn't make any difference, because sin is not really what's destroying people, is it? Sin, the price for sin was paid through the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's the gospel. That's the good news. The price was paid for your debt, which was death. The death was for all mankind. Eternal death, eternal separation from God, because we were lost. We were without him in this world. We had no hope. And the picture that really is painted here is that of a man such as you would see on the street, and he is curled up in a fetal position, laying on that, you know, sometimes you'll see them maybe laying on a piece of cardboard or something like that, and without hope, without God in this world, lost. And that's really the picture, and that's really where we were, lost. We have no hope. We are eternally stuck in the state until we found Jesus. Hallelujah. But that was the good news, which we saw. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love wherewith he loved us. Oh, glory to God. If God had a handicap, Pastor Dave used to say all the time, if God had a handicap, you're it. Mankind is it. He loves us. And I'm glad for it, aren't you? Hallelujah. His love, which is everlasting, that even in the deadness of sin, even when we were dead, we were lost. See, sin, yes, caused the problem. That's what caused us to receive that sentence of death, because sin had the wage. But God said, no, 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 I'm going to save them. I'm going to bring grace, something that we did not deserve. It is the power of God that brought salvation to mankind. It is more, much more. I mean, there's really kind of three types of grace. Grace that saves us. This is the saving grace of God, but that same grace, what also causes us to deny the things of this flesh, to deny ungodliness. It moves in and it begins to speak to us. Why? Because it brought the very life of God to the inside of us, and a righteousness that we received from heaven above, and gave us what? Hope of eternal life, and knowing that we've been changed from the inside out. That new man that's on the inside of you, no longer bound, no longer has to walk in death, no longer separated from a God of love. Hallelujah. But is now received, and it says in verse 6, and raised up together with him and made to sit together with Christ in heavenly places. Glory to God. Woo, I don't know about you, but I get excited when I see myself in Jesus. Can you see yourself in him? He was the great substitute. He's the one that became one with you. He said, I want a union with man that cannot be broken. So I'm going to come and live on the inside. It's what the prophets longed for. The Bible says they longed to see our day. They longed to have God live in them. Yeah, they knew where God was. He was in the temple. He was on the prophets, and he would come on them occasionally. They would sense his presence, and yes, his glory filled the temple, and they tasted of him. But you and I, we have him living inside in this bodily. He is our treasure in an earthen vessel, filled with his glory and his power and his love. Oh, hallelujah, folks. Do you see who you are tonight? Are you understanding you're not that same old sinner saved by grace? No, I've been changed by grace. Glory to God. Grace moved on the inside of me. Grace began to work in me. And now I see a new life, and I've been raised with a Savior. Hallelujah, who came because he loved me. Glory to God. There's good news in the house tonight. Christmas is the time that we celebrate that. It's the time we're celebrating, yes, the one that came and said, I'll go. The part of Father God where he made the plan with the Holy Spirit in Jesus. And they begin to talk it over. And I'm sure God, with lightning quick speed, went through every possible way that man could be saved. But yet he found the only way and the true way and what he really wanted. And he said, I can redeem man legally. I'm coming into the earth through the body of man. I'm going to come as a man. Jesus said, I'll do it. I'll go, Father. Father, I'll go. You understand, he was in the beginning with the Father. Everything that was made, he was there with the Father. The Godhead was one, yes, but they worked together as that one person, that one entity, the Holy Spirit brooding on the face of the deep, waiting for what? The spoken word of God. And God said, light be, and it was. And the world began to come into existence. We're talking about the God Himself living on the inside of you. Ooh, do you understand who's in you? Do we really understand how He made us one with Him? And came and changed that inside man from a place of death to the place of life. You see, we don't fully understand. I've said this several times because you and I had never walked in perfection before because we were born into a fallen race. Now, Adam and Eve, they were what? Made, or we could say born in a sense, into perfection. A perfect state from the inside out. Their inside person was alive to God because God breathed into them what? The breath of life. Glory to God. And God says, I make you that living soul, that living being, and clothe them with what? The glory of God. Can you understand? They had no knowledge of evil. They didn't have the knowledge that they're even without clothes on. Oh my goodness, amazing when you think about it. What could that have looked like? The essence and the glory of God so filled them. Yes, even in their physical being. No sense of pain or agony. No sense of defeat, no sense of lack, and walking with God in the cool of the day, a fellowship so precious and so holy, which you and I now can experience today because of Jesus. We can once again walk with Him. Yes, we have to deal with an outer man. Yes, we have an outer shell that's not yet glorified. Yes, we have problems with Him sometimes. He likes to give us trouble, doesn't He? Amen. And we have a soulish mind that, you know, that sometimes keeps some things that came with that, this old body and things we remember from the past or things that bother us. But we've got the greater one that lives on the inside, and from the inside man out, if we'll allow our spirit to dominate us, we can walk in the glory and presence of God like Adam and Eve did and like Jesus did. Because see, He still wore a death body. He came into what? A body that was prepared for Him. That body that was prepared was not glorified, was it? When He was birthed, had to go through the whole process, come out from Mary, and I'm sure He cried. I'm sorry, but there was a little crying probably at the stable. I know we sing the Christmas song, No Crying He Made, because He was such a precious baby, and I'm sure He was probably pretty quiet. But, you know, if He didn't cry, His mama wouldn't have known when to feed Him, and He would have died. So we know He had to have cried, right? Because that's the way God made babies. He came as a human into a human body. Yet His spirit was still alive to the Father. From the beginning. Why? Because He did not have the blood of Adam, the DNA of Adam, which was tainted with sin, and then therefore passed sin down through mankind to you and I. But this life, hallelujah, whoo, that we got when we were born again, we received Him. Glory to God. But you who are rich in mercy because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up. Aren't you glad He didn't leave you down? Hallelujah. How many glad He raised you up? Amen. And He's still raising us up. Amen. Caused us to go somewhere, to be raised up, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the spiritual realm, in that sense, we are what? seated with Him. It is as good as done. He said, you are seated with me. In other words, the salvation was made complete in Christ. He said, I have paid the price that you can walk with me, that in the ages to come you might know what the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Because it was by that grace that, we say that. I mean, unmerited favor. I mean, it's a good word. It's a good part. We didn't merit the grace. We couldn't have earned the grace. We couldn't have paid the price for it. Why? Because we were tainted with sin, all mankind. We had to have Jesus. We had to have that Savior. We had to have Him come in the flesh, in the body. That body that Jesus was, that was prepared for Him. We must have that Redeemer. But when we got that, once we received Him, the life that He brought, the change that took place. It didn't all happen on the outside. We didn't suddenly have a full head of hair. You didn't suddenly, have no pains in your body necessarily. Or no pain if you touch the fire, right? I put my hand on that fire and it hurt because God made you that way. So you'll pull your hand back and won't let yourself die. Amen. There are some things that it's good that we have a little pain for. Amen. And we look two ways before we cross the street. Why? Because He wants us to live. We want this body to stay alive. This body is what lets us live on this earth. And yes, it has its trials and problems, but we've been saved, and from the inside out, we can overcome. He made us His workmanship. Hallelujah. How many know God does good work? He did it good the first time. He did it perfect the first time. Adam and Eve were perfectly made, weren't they? So it's difficult sometimes for us to realize the immensity of that fall. It only can come by revelation in our heart and from God to realize, hey, we fell, that sin destroyed us, caused that wage, but Jesus paid the price. The wages of sin was death, or eternal separation from God, and at the cross, what did Jesus say? He said, it is finished. I'm paying that death payment, Father, right now. And then what? In His spirit, He says, His spirit left Him. And I think that's more of what He was concerned about, was being separated from His Father and went into a place called hell in our place, that we don't have to go there anymore. Can you imagine that? Jesus Himself. See, He had never been separated from His Father. Even when He came into the earth, He was somewhat physically in a sense, but He still had the life of God in Him. He still had connection with His Heavenly Father. But then there at the cross, He said He became sin for us. And God, He said, my God, why have You, what? Forsaken me. Because God cannot allow sin. That sin had to pay, that price had to be paid for the sin of all man. Oh, my Lord, the price that He paid for us. He gave us all. He gave everything. He left all of heaven for you and I to come as that baby. But that baby didn't stay the baby. He grew in stature and learned the things of God and how to walk with His Father and fulfill all that God had Him to do. Hallelujah. All right. And it is that grace, the kindness, He says here, verse 7, that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? God wants that kindness. He wanted to express that to you. It was His good pleasure to give us the kingdom, to draw us to Himself and seat us with Him far above what all the power of Satan, so that now you can rule and reign through that one man, Jesus Christ. Let's go to Romans chapter 5 for a minute. We see that here so clearly. I know we've looked at it, but I want us to look at it again. I know these are simple truths, but I want us to understand the depths to which he came, the sin debt that was paid, and what was given to you and I, that righteous life that moved to the inside of you, where you were made right with God. You received his righteousness. Amen. But let's look here in verse, let's start verse 12. Let's go back just a minute. And we received sonship with God, didn't we? We became the very sons and daughters of the King, that we might rule and reign. Here we go, Romans chapter 5. Oops, I'm on the wrong chapter. Sorry about that. Yeah, verse 12 is good. It says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sin. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there was no law. In other words, it was not counted against them. Their sin is there, but they didn't recognize sin. Sin came. Paul even said, hey, I didn't realize I was a sinner till the law told me. Do not, what? Covet. Don't try to, don't go after your neighbor's things. He said, the law then brought death to me. I realized, I recognized the death that was working in me. The law helped me to see my need for a Savior. Nevertheless, verse 14, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift of the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. Oh, hallelujah. I'm so glad that it's not by our... See, all of our good work, all of your work, and my work could not save us. It was impossible. We had to have that Savior. Impossible. Why? Because man is not going to be able to change himself. If something died in you, if someone dies, what are they going to do? They can't bring life back to yourself, can you? It's impossible. It was impossible because we were tainted with sin. And we didn't die immediately physically, did we? Adam and Eve didn't just die physically, and maybe that's why when Eve presented him with whatever the fruit was, and he ate as well, because he said, well, she did die. Maybe what God said. See, that's the devil's work, isn't it? To not believe what God has said, and it's still his work today, because that's his greatest thing, is to deceive man into believing the lie. But the truth is, God cannot lie. And what he has said is truth. Jesus is that way. He is that truth. He is the very life and nature that moves on the inside of us. Amen? He is the one that changed us, that made us sons and daughters, and brought us, verse 14, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came, from many offenses resulted in justification, or being made right with God. For if by one man's offense death reigned, through the one. Much more, those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through one, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Therefore, as though one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteousness, that's Jesus, his act, his righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For if by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. In other words, the law was brought that they could see that they were sinners. They could not, throughout the old covenant, it was impossible. They could not keep the law. They would constantly be breaking the law. And Jesus said, if you broke one commandment, you're guilty of all. You're guilty of all the commandments being broken in your life. If you could not, you know, anybody told a lie. Have you ever told a lie in your life? Well, what are lies? What do we call people that tell lies? We call them liars, don't we? Have you ever stole anything? Maybe it was just a paper clip or a few pins from work. You know, you took them home on purpose. Thought, well, I think I could, you know, they got a whole bunch of them here. They won't mind one, you know. That's a thief, isn't it? So far, you know, so a lot of times people say, yeah, well, I've told a lot. Well, some people say I told a bunch of them, you know. But lying, thieving, these are the commandments of God, not to steal, right? Not to even want what our neighbor has, to covet, not to commit adultery. And Jesus says, don't even look on a man or a woman to lust after them in your heart, or you've committed adultery. What in our heart, right? Hallelujah. So many times people say, well, I'm okay, I'm good. No, man is evil. Man is full of sin and must have a redeemer because he's failed the standard of God. See, God's standard is what? Perfection. He said, I must have perfection. There's only one way to receive perfection, and that is from the perfect substitute who gives us that righteousness. And we are made, verse 19, one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. So man's own righteousness could never save him. They tried it. Man has been still trying it, and sometimes they try it today. Well, let me get myself cleaned up so I can come to Jesus. I don't want to come right now. I'm still, you know, I want to get this out of my life or that out of your life. And it's not going to happen that way, because if you could have gotten it out of your life, you would have put it out of your life. Amen. We're going to need a Savior. We need Him. And it's only His blood and only His sacrifice that brings the righteous life that moves to the inside of us. Oh, glory to God. You see who you are. A daughter, a son of the living God, filled with the righteousness of God, filled with the love of God, filled with Him, He Himself. And when we allow this outward man to die and keep it in that place called death, the life of God can reign and rule in this life through Him. He gives us the ability to walk with Him, to reign with Him above all sin, and let the destructions and what the enemy intended for us to have, evil, to fall by the wayside, and to allow His goodness and His abounding love that He has for us to rule and reign in and through us. Oh, there's good news in the house tonight. You're not just a sinner saved by grace. You are a son and daughter of the living God. You've been born again. Your life was changed. It didn't stay the same as we were. Who are we? Glory to God. We are the righteous ones. We are those that have been made kings and priests unto our Father. and we can walk one with Him, with a union with the Savior. Hallelujah, receiving what He had paid. His substitution became ours. Glory to God. We died with Him. We were buried with Him, but we were also raised with Him, and we are seated with Him, and we are able to reign with Him as one in Christ Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you for that wonderful, wonderful, matchless grace that saved us. Hallelujah. Paid the penalty so that as sin reigned in death, even so, grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This isn't a one-time thing. This is an eternal thing. Glory to God. We were eternally lost in sin, but we have been eternally found in Christ Jesus and gained eternal righteousness that we might know Him, walk with Him, reign with Him, be seated with Him far above all the work of the enemy. See, it's not just sin, but also sin's friends. It'll be destroyed when we are walking with our Master. Oh, hallelujah. I know it's good news in the house today. And the next verse says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Certainly not. Why? Because the greater one lives within. Hallelujah, and He has caused me to overcome all sin and to walk as a son, to walk as an heir, to walk with Christ Jesus in that nature, in that life, in that born-again place where I was birthed of my Father God Almighty through the precious blood of the Lamb that brought that grace to me. Hallelujah, there's good news in the house. Whoo, hallelujah. So if we, I just love that when He says that. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? God forbid. No, certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? How can we live in that mess any longer? We've been set free. We've been redeemed. We've been made new. We've been raised. We've been seated. Glory to God. We're with our Father with an eternal life through Jesus Christ. Amen. There's good news. I know that's a very positive message, and I believe in positive messages because when we realize who we really are, sin is not going to reign over us. We're going to destroy it. We're going to walk free of this fleshliness that tries to stop us, because there's a power within us that drives us, that draws us, that compels us to walk in holiness and to walk in righteousness with our Father. I want to look at, I think we should look at one more verse, and that's over here in Titus, because sometimes, you know, people want to get carried away and they say, well, I got grace, brother. I can do whatever I please. But that's not what grace does. Grace has brought you to a place where you are free, where you can walk in righteousness, where you can walk in true holiness. Amen. Let's look at 2, verse 11 and 12. Titus 2. Thank you. How many love the Word of God? Amen. Many times, you know, if we'll stay in there, if we'll study, if we'll look, let the Holy Spirit teach us and help us. He'll define a lot of things for us. He'll make it, you know, He'll bring the light. How many know He's the illuminator? God's Word is full of power. But here in verse 11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. That same grace, that saving grace that we've received and made us sons and daughters, it's there teaching us. It's doing something for us. The grace of God teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. That sounds like repentance to me, amen? In other words, we turn from that life of sin and we walk into that life with God of righteousness and true holiness, and we live what? Soberly. That means we're not drunk with the world's junk. Everybody say, you're not drunk with the world's junk. Because that's how the devil works. Amen. He wants to bring the world's junk to your mind and try to, what, deceive you into getting your thinking away from who you are and into what the enemy wants to get you to believe, that you're not one that's going to reign. But no, I can reign. I can reign in holiness. I can reign with righteousness. I can reign with my Father seated. In other words, I rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ, what he did at that cross. I can put my faith in every promise and know that, yes, it's going to come to pass in my life because God cannot lie. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you, Father, for the word of God, which brings encouragement to us of who we really are. And we thank you for being willing, Jesus, to come to the earth, to save us, to make us new, to give us life and life abundant, that we might walk in a place with you in righteousness and true holiness that comes from the Master himself, that you have given us, that we'll see ourselves as your sons and your daughters with who we are, reigning in life. That, Lord, we don't have to be discouraged at what the enemy tries to bring to our ears or to our eyes, but we can rise, Father, and we can walk above those things in the mighty name of Jesus, Father. And we can walk in the blessing and the goodness and the kindness of our Father. We thank you for that, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, as we continue to move forward during this time of celebrating the coming of the Messiah, the coming of the King, the one that came, yes, as a baby, but he didn't stay there. He didn't stay a baby. We celebrate it, Lord, because we need that truth, and we needed that Savior, and we needed that redemption, and we needed our sin to be washed away, to be taken away, Lord, and given a new life and brought to life in our spirit. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name.